Attributes of God. Exodus chapter 20 verse 5 tells us that God is jealous. Jealousy is an intense desire to protect one's own glory, honor, and name. Since God is perfect, it is only right for him to protect his own glory. Take comfort knowing that God will receive glory, and his glory is good for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fonzie, not join? I'm all packed. You told me it was the right thing to do. Look, I know what I told you to do, but when I told you to do that, I was... Ralph, I was... I was not exactly right.
What do you mean, not right?
I mean, not right.
I don't get you. You mean you were wrong?
This is Wretched Radio, the things we used to think were funny. Back in the day when Fonzie couldn't say that he was... Hold on, I got another one for you, Jimmy.
Okay.
So now he's going to try to practice it with Richie. Listen to the crowd. Listen to this.
I tell you what, I mean, I'll think about it. I'm even going to have to practice this. Ralph, I was ruined.
Killing him. There's another generational difference right there.
So why did you play it?
Because I was wrong. I was wrong.
About what?
Your soul. Well, not your soul in particular, but just souls in general. Don't know if you remember. Thanks, Steve, for busting me on this. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Origen and the false teachings of this early church father, who is often cited as probably the most prominent source for annihilationism / conditionalism. And one of his issues was when your soul got connected to you. And I said that his view was condemned at the Council of Constantinople in 540 something or another because he believed in traducianism. Thanks to Stephen, who actually looked it up and went, okay, I've never heard this traducianism. I kind of confused my three ways that you got connected to your soul. So if you're not familiar with it, I cited Origen as believing in traducianism. That was not exactly right. He believed in the pre-existence of souls. That was actually deemed a heresy. If you've never studied the issue, here you go. Traducianism, your soul gets produced when you're conceived. Your parents, the whole thing happens. I think it's fair to say this, naturally. When you were conceived, your parents, they passed along not just a body DNA, but also a soul. The soul is transmitted at conception. Now, there are some reasons that, by the way, this is a not heretical position. I said that Origen was condemned for this position. He was actually condemned for the pre-existence of souls. I understand why some people would believe in traducianism, mostly because God's creative work, I base it on Genesis, that when God said, I'm done creating, he was done creating. So now if you believe, like I actually do, in what's called creationism, not to be confused with creation, but that God creates the soul and he's the one who actually literally creates your soul, connecting you with your body inside of the womb at conception, by the way, not later. We don't have the ensoulment being seen later. It happens at conception. I understand why a traducianist would be a traducianist because it kind of argues against God ceasing from his creative work. However, there are problems with traducianism. How exactly is that soul transmitted? How does that happen? Also, it does raise questions. This isn't the biggie, but it does raise questions about Jesus. Then, if his soul was made by mother and Holy Spirit, did he receive a sinful nature? So that's an issue that the traducianist needs to deal with. Who believed in traducianism? Augustine. A lot of Lutherans, they believe in traducianism. And a lot of Reformed theologians, it's not universal because there's a lot of Reformed theologians that also believe in creationism, but a lot of them did believe in what is called traducianism, which, while I disagree with, is not heretical. What is heretical would be the pre-existence of souls, that your soul existed prior to conception. And it's later united with your body. So the soul precedes your body. You've existed longer than when you were conceived and certainly born. Problem is, the Bible just doesn't say that. It also tends to undermine how we are body and soul. We're dualistic beings. We're body and soul. It's like who we are, as opposed to we got introduced to one another. Here's a handshake and you now start a relationship. It tends to be associated with dualistic thinking, separating a body and soul, almost a Gnosticism-like related theology. And it was condemned in the early church, specifically the Second Council of Constantinople. Oh, we got it right here, 553. Like I said, that's what I said earlier. Just go ahead and run that tape because I wasn't... Who believed it? Origen. It was influenced by Plato, and it was rejected by the church as heterodox or even heretical in Orthodox Christianity. That was the view of Origen. Now, the third view, which I actually adhere to, for whatever that's worth, would be creationism. Each individual is directly created by God. He knits you together in your mother's womb. The body comes from the parents. The soul comes immediately from God. But God remains the direct creator of your soul. He's also the one, of course, who's responsible for your body and knitting you together. Now, it's got strengths. It also has some weaknesses. But the strengths are it makes God the one who makes you. You. That he is the Psalm 139. You're you because God made your soul. It avoids any sort of metaphysical chicanery that's involved with soul transmission. How does that work exactly? And it also deals with an aforementioned concern of traducianism about the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. If Mary was the one who traducianed his soul. That's right. I said traducianed. Now, there are some difficulties. How can something made by God become sinful? Got to answer that. It can potentially implicate God in creating something that is immediately corrupted. And it's got to explain the transmission of original sin. Who held on to this position? Thomas Aquinas. Roman Catholics do. A lot of Reformed, although not all, it's not unanimous. And a lot of contemporary evangelicals hold on to creationism. Is this an issue that should divide us? Well, I do think that the idea of your soul existing in advance, super problematic. I don't know why the Council of Constantinople condemned that as a heresy. I mean, I see the problems with it most certainly. Would I say over that issue, somebody who has that understanding as to the way, something that's mysterious, and the Bible isn't a science textbook to tell us how that works at conception, would that be something that I think would put somebody in heresy camp? I don't think so, man. But I do think that it can be an actual in-house debate, and it can be an interesting exercise. But at the end of the day on that one, did I just say at the end of the day, oh, I just violated one of my own rules. Oh, so when the day is no longer, that was better. In-house debate. Jimmy, what are you? Traducian, creation, or a heretic?
I think I'd be creationist.
Yeah, it's, you know, they've all got issues that need to be dealt with. but I just tend to lean that way because I think it's God then who gets all of the credit for making us. Now, having confessed my ness, Jimmy, I don't want to use this as an opportunity to say that I was really, really right about something, but I'm going to. Jimmy, would you just remind me, the author of the Harry Potter books, she's from what country exactly? Do you recall?
I do not. Great
Britain.
Yeah, she's from Great Britain.
Oh, I see.
I knew that.
The author of Harry Potter's from Great Britain. Well, that would explain this headline. The rising number of Brits are leaving Christianity to turn to paganism. There you have it. I've been right all these years. You can just thank Harry Potter for the increase in paganism. Right there in Great Britain. They're turning to paganism? 9% Wicca. That's typically female-driven. But that is a growing trend. It was actually, I think, that trend, I'm not sure how it's been doing lately. I haven't seen any stats on it lately. But I remember maybe about 15, 20 years ago, it was kind of becoming the it thing to be in America. And do you know what I did then? I blamed that on Harry Potter too. Do you know why? Because I was right. Well, that's so much easier to say it that way. This is Wretched Radio.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Krotz breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside-down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me tell you about something that we're all excited about. Fortis Plus, that's our app. It's absolutely free of charge. And when I say free, I mean actually free. No subscriptions, no paywalls, no bait and switch, nothing like that. And you'll find hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of audio and video content on theology, family, biblical counseling. And look, it's not static content. No, we're adding content every single day. Content that's Christ-centered, and it's content that's at your fingertips for absolutely no charge. Now, how do we keep that free? Well, it's not magic. It's gospel partners. These are people, men and women just like you, who believe in what we're doing at Fortis Institute so much that they have decided to link arms with us. And if that's you, if you've benefited from anything we've done here at Fortis Institute, would you consider linking arms with us as well? All you have to do right now is just get your questions answered. And you can find those answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. It is not certain who the human author of the book of Hebrews was. However, it is certain that the ultimate author is the Holy Spirit. The message of Hebrews is an exhortation to faith in Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. When you want to see how God foreshadowed and fulfilled the gospel in the Old Testament, look to Hebrews. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, here's some good news-ish. It's ish, because it's not totally great, but it ain't bad either. This is Wretched Radio. Do you recall the study that was done? I can't do really complicated math. It was 3 years ago, so that would have been 2023. Yeah, 2023. They did a survey of pastors asking them how they felt about being in pastoral ministry, and a shocking 42% said, "I want out." They contemplated quitting. And it was absolutely positively in light of COVID. Well, some good news, that number has gone down. It's gone down to 24% of pastors that are still contemplating turning in their resignation, but it's down at least. And perhaps, maybe that's a wee bit instructive in light of, I've been hearing rumors, I don't pay much attention to them because I don't want to deal with something that's speculation until I need to, when it actually becomes reality. Jimmy, did you hear there's a new flu coming our way?
I think so. I heard some rumors.
And I wonder what cute name they've got for that one. So that one could be coming on the way. So you just might, Jimmy. You're fine because you wear a mask every day anyway, but you might want to roll up your sleeve and get ready for that jab, Daddy-O, because apparently we're in for another one. The moral to the story might be, if we get hit by another flu, please, don't think that you can't talk about these issues with your pastor, but please don't pistol whip him. He's not an epidemiologist. He's a theologian. Now, he might do a better job this time around than last time because it's like, okay, we've seen this play before and we know where to go looking for actual numbers. But even so, remember, he's the shepherd of your soul. He's not your medical doctor. And he has voices clamoring on all sides of him, telling him what to do. So maybe, just maybe, hopefully we don't get hit by another one of these pandemics. You ever seen any movie with the Spanish flu, Jimmy? They literally, it was Monty Python, Bring Out Your Dead. People are just dying all over the place. I don't recall seeing that in our streets. Nevertheless,
never saw.
Should this one actually become that, let's remember, our pastor, he's to care for your soul. And he's going to try to make the best decisions that he can for the church. And we don't want him feeling so pressured by this that it causes him to want to quit. Speaking of quitting, here's another reason why pastors tend to want to get out of the ministry. They aren't getting paid enough. Interesting article in the Christian Post, 5 reasons why many pastors are inadequately paid. This is worth noting because maybe, just maybe, it's not something that you've thought about regarding your pastor. And I understand churches have limitations. Not everybody is flush with cash, can't afford to pay the guy maybe as much as they even want to, but we should at least be aware of his compensation and that there are some accounting issues that might be overlooked that cause churches to not pay their pastor so that he can live comfortably. If there is one expense that your church should happily receive and take care of, your pastor's salary. You don't want him worrying about that. It causes marital strain. It causes all kinds of problems with the kids. You want him ready, able, studying, prepared on Sunday, willing to get up in the middle of the night to rush to your hospital bed and give you a good word that comforts you. You want your pastor unencumbered by financial concerns. So maybe, just maybe, this will be helpful for you. Number one reason pastors are inadequately paid: no one in the church is paying any attention. Nobody's even talking about it because it's unspiritual. And years pass. There's not an evaluation of what the pastor needs or what the church could be providing. And so his salary is stagnant. And hey, have you seen the gas prices lately? Hey, have you seen the cost of a loaf of bread still? I'm waiting for this golden age. I don't mind telling you, Jimmy, I could use some golden age prices.
I could too.
Ugh. Number two, the pastor's package is considered the pastor's salary. So all of the other things that maybe are put into his package, you see that as the number and think, oh, then he's fine. But maybe not. From the article, one of the biggest points of confusion in churches is the idea of a salary package. They roll everything in the housing allowance, insurance, retirement, reimbursements into a big number and call it the pastor's pay. So it looks like, whoa, that's a big number. But in reality, it's not his take home. Be mindful of that. When a package is treated like a salary, then insurance premiums feel like a raise. Retirement contributions look like cash. Reimbursements become benefits, but that isn't putting real money into the pastor's pocket. Number three, older church members don't realize today's cost of living. Four, some church members believe starving the pastor is a form of sanctification. No, pastor shouldn't be living large. He shouldn't be the richest guy in the congregation. But he shouldn't be starving. He's worthy of his hire. Don't overlook that. Number five, the church assumes the spouse's income makes up for the shortfall. Oh, well, that ain't fair, is it? Because she's not the one who received the call. He is. Be mindful of your pastor's salary so it doesn't give him a reason to want to hand in the old, I'm out of here. Furthermore, stumbled across, oh, I think this is an old, yep, 2015, seven ways Satan tries to destroy a church. Be on the alert. The devil prowls around seeking to devour. Here are seven ways Satan tries to destroy a church. He'll do it through the pastor, through financial pressure, through COVID debates. But here's other ways. Satan hates the church. He hates the church because it's an expression. It's the body of Christ assembling together in a potent form. So here's how he likes to break it down. We should all be mindful of these things. Number seven, church conflict. Fighting over stuff. If you ever want to do a little bit of research that will really challenge you, use your concordance to go look up all the times love is used. Love. You'll be shocked at how in 1 Peter alone, I happen to know this, preparing this sermon for a few weeks from now, above all else, love one another. What? Above all else? You mean like everything? Above all else, love one another. Why? 1 Peter 4, because it overlooks a multitude of sins. In other words, you'll stop fighting over stuff. So we got to cultivate love. Read Colossians, read Ephesians, that we are supposed to, what? Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So we've got to be growing in love so that we don't have church conflict. Number six, staff or volunteer burnout. That can cause problems in the church, can it? Number five, here's one that I think is one of the biggest nasties inside of a church. Rumor spreading. That is something that is so bad for a church. And I think it's addressed under the banner of factiousness, where you're just causing trouble, causing division. Those things just cannot be inside of the church. So just you can't maybe police everybody, but we can all police ourselves. And if I'm policing me and you're policing you, then we just might find ourselves having less rumor spreading. Jimmy, I read a good word. I've heard Phil Johnson use this word, obsequiousness.
Oh, yeah. I use it all the time.
Do you?
Oh, that's the first time I've ever heard it in my life.
I actually have the gift of obsequiousness, except it's a really bad present. It's judgmental of everything. Being able to criticizing stuff. Got a war against that. Here's other ways that the devil likes to destroy churches. Busyness. It's doing projects and doing programs, but not growing and our love for the Lord. Lies is another way. It totally divides. It disrupts the unity of the body. Scandal, seen enough of that, haven't we? Also cited marriage and family disruptions, especially amongst the leaders. All ways that Satan loves to see churches just turn into a complete train wreck. Can you do anything about it? You sure can. You can be mindful of your pastor and his needs, financial, otherwise. Remember his role as a theologian. And remember, the devil would love to crash and burn your good Bible teaching church. He would love it. And while you're all weeping, he's going to be all laughing with little demons because they hate the church, because they hate Christ. And that means they hate the Christ ones who assemble in the context of a local church. You and I, we can make a difference. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.